August 13, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Miraj Speak, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic is El-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-karim Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Moon water less means people know faith. The Quran Surah 36, Ayah 39, moon dried of water. So what are we to understand from this as religious people? We are to understand that water less mind, a mind with no faith, a mind with no faith in God as a supreme being, a mind that doesn't trust moral strength and faith in something superior to it, can't do very much but assist something greater. The moon is just a little assistant to the sun, so we can live without the moon, but we certainly can't live without the sun. Yes, some people say, well, we can't live without the moon because the moon controls the tide. If we didn't have the moon, the water would be controlled. Well, I don't know that. Maybe something about something also in the solar system will be able to affect the tide and keep the tide in. There are natural orders if the moon is knocked out of the sky. But we know that we depend on the sun for energy, for light, for life. The sun is greater in religious symbolism than it is the moon. So desert, when the earth is without water, forget about it. No life. No life. Water without earth doesn't necessarily mean no life. But earth without water means no life. There is no life on the moon, no water. So if you go to the desert where there is hardly any water, you'll find hardly any life. And if you find any life at all, it's because there is some moisture in the atmosphere over the desert. Or there is some underground water existing under the desert, or there is some moisture that some trees before the desert became desert, some organic life before the desert becomes desert, was able to keep and maintain some water to keep its organic existence on the desert. Lotus plant. So the water is either in the plant or it is in the atmosphere or it is under the desert. There is no water in the dry land. There is no life in the dry land, the dry sand, because there is no water. But there is a plant that has its symbolic place in religion. It is called the locust plant. I have been fortunate enough in my life, not that I consider it any great blessing now. The lotus has no power. It has symbolic meaning in symbolic religion. And I saw the locust plant growing in water. It wasn't in earth. It was in water. So there was no earth around it, touching it. It was growing in plain water. And the plant had risen up to the surface of the water, and there it was floating on the surface of the water, not being rooted, and it had bloomed, and there was a nice flower, a pretty plant, growing in the water, living in water without earth. So lotus in water means get moral light. Can you find a plant living in earth without water? No. No, no. So what is this saying to you? That if you want to live, you have to get moral life in you. If you want to live, you have to get faith in God back in you. The Quran, Surah 36, Ayah 39, moon measure. Mind of man is like the moon starting in the dark. So it is impossible for the human mind to capture the whole of God's creation. God does not have to argue with us. He does not argue with us. He lets us run out, so we will start all over again. And that is what life is on this planet Earth, with the mind. It is just like the moon that seems to be gone forever, for a day or so. And then it appears again as a thin crescent, a little thin line. And it grows and grows until it becomes full, a complete circle. And then it disappears for a day or so. And after growing into fullness, it disappears for a day or so and starts all over again from a little thin line. The philosophers here and prophets saw that as a sign of the ability of man's brain or the ability of man's intelligence. It starts out in the dark. When it is in the dark, when you are yet in your mother, you have not been born yet. But as soon as you are born, after 9 months in your mother, you become conscious. If you are blessed to have life, you become conscious in this big world created by God. When you become conscious, your brain starts to work immediately, and the brain will grow and grow over the years. You become more and more intelligent, and you will fix your mind on something, and you will perceive what life is, and you will live that life and will run out. You are still living physically, but your mind has run out. You cannot do anything more with the reality. You are stuck. And you might run into the Honorable Elijah Muhammad back there in that time, and he may say something. He may say things that shake your mind up and jolt it with powerful energy. And you might start thinking all over again. And you end up thinking into another world. You thought yourself into another world. And you think and you think and you think. And something happens, some tragedy or something. Not a tragedy, a good experience. But something has shaken that conviction you had. And you will start all over again. Just like the moon keeps trying to perfection, and every time the moon gets perfection, it has to give it up and start all over again. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we get more than 1 month to life. So if we think we can have it and we do not, we just start all over again. That is life. So in the final analysis, what is a human being? A human being is life, certainly life belonging to all other life that God created. All life is sensitive. All life is connected. we connect not only to flesh life, connecting also to plant life. All life is connected. I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that you are what you eat. So if I am what I eat, I am cabbage, string beans, chicken, and all of that stuff. And that is true. God made them human beings to be consumers of all the foods. Some animals, they just want one food. Some eat grain or vegetables like we do. But we are the most, the biggest of all consumers. We consume more than all other living things. So what I want to say with this line of reasoning is that we limit ourselves and we abort our brain before they reach maturity. The Quran, Surah 36, Ayat 47. Why feed poor if Allah, He would have? And when they are told, spend ye of the bounty with which Allah has provided you, you unbelievers say to those who believe, shall we then feed those whom if Allah had so willed, He would have fed Himself? You are in nothing but manifest error. So John 1:46, can food come out of Nazareth? And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. So isn't that the same mentality that thought it was proper for us to be pushed down and shut out? The same mentality. So don't think that modern racism is in America is a modern problem. It's an ancient problem. And it's a great future feature dealing with the problem in all of the great religions that we are associated with, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All these religions have that particular problem as a major feature. Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, himself is a conclusion for the particular dilemma or for the particular conflict in the thinking of the so-called learned society. So this argument about, okay, God made these people like that, we didn't make them like that. If they don't bring themselves up, if they don't carry themselves forward, it's not our obligation to give them what we got and to make them equal. And to make them equal, God made those people like that. We didn't make them like that. If they don't bring themselves up, if they don't carry themselves forward, it's not our obligation to give them what we got and to make them equal in our society. God made them like that so that the way it's supposed to be, they don't have a better future than what they have. God created them that way. Okay. The other argument is that, no, whatever is in one human being is in every human being at birth. The same hope for intelligence, that same hope for morality, good morals, same hope for industry, the same hope for any human being is capable of doing it in every human being at birth from mama. So trump is blown, the body will tell of our deeds. The Quran, Surah 36, Ayat 51. On that day, the trumpets will be blown. So you are not this body. you are expressing yourself, and you are not this physical. You are not that. You are what is being expressed in that. So you are what is using this instrument. This is your instrument. Your body is your instrument. So you are what is using that instrument. So God created you spiritual, and he gave you the body as your instrument and as your servant. The body is made to be your servant and your instrument. So that is what it is to you. But you can't really express yourself without your body, as a musician can't express his without his instrument. You can't express yourself without your instrument. That's your human body. And it says, and on that day the trumpets will blow. What is the trumpets? Your whole body is the trumpet that will be blowing. It will be your human body that will be blowing, and it will be sending off a warning. It will be your soul, your breath of life, sending warnings through your trumpet, your human body, to the world. Quran says, and on that day the trumpets will be blowing, and they will rise at once, all at once, a single blast of the trumpet, and they all will be standing up. So man's spiritual association. So I hope I'm giving you some understanding on your true origin, self, and how that is where you must return. After we have gone from the physical world that God created us to live in, express ourselves in our flesh and blood body, we engage the material world with our intelligence, with our intellect, our rational tools, and we form material structures, huts, houses, mansions, pathways, roadways, highways, expressways, go from the donkey to automobiles, trucks, ships, airplanes, rockets. The Quran, Surah 37, Ayah 10, still a heavenly fire. So we are told that a certain one in Greek mythology stole the heavenly fire. We still have fire as a symbol of learning in the institutions of education, college, and universities. They are familiar with the symbol of fire, I believe, when now they use the magic lamp or lantern with the fire coming up as a symbol of higher learning, higher knowledge. So this fire that we are talking about is higher knowledge on the subject of life, human life. Human life has always made man curious and has mystified the ignorant people. So man's struggles has been for understanding. He has struggled to understand his life. Man wants to understand his life. And the struggle was made fruitful by the concept of God as creator and as the infinite being who is not creation and is not limited or contained in creation, but who has a reach, who has, pardon me, creation and as infinite being who is not creation and is not limited or contained in creation. But who has a reach that extends everywhere? He can reach us here. He can reach us in our soul. He can reach us beyond the sun, the moon, and the stars, because his reach, as scriptures tells us, extends beyond everything. The Quran, Surah 37, Ayah 10, who steals a hearing pursued by fire. So he is going to come at you in your weakness, from the left, from the right, and from the front and from the rear. He is going to come at you, attacking you in your own personal weaknesses. And from the and to come at you, attacking you in your own personal weaknesses, not in the revelation. But God closed revelation. God closed revelation. God closed revelation against him. God sealed him out of that. Just closed him out of that. He can't come in the revelation anymore. But now he comes into your life to fish into the weakness flesh and find the weakness to fish in and find the weakness in your life. And then he can exploit those weaknesses for the world he wants to make. He exploits your weaknesses to create the world or to contribute to the world he wants to make. That's the Satan, always competing with God and God's prophets and God's messengers, competing to take man on the course he would prefer him to be on, to prove man is not worthy of being responsible for the great role that God put him in or created him for. That is a big disappointment for Satan. He can't accept that. So he is out to prove that man can't carry that responsibility. So since he can't, as the Bible says, he would ascend up into the highest height and present himself on the throne as God, in God's stead. He will put himself up there as God in the place of God. Satan will do that. So this is an address where God says, before you used to steal a hearing, but no more. You come up here to steal a hearing, now you will find shooting bolts of fire ready to take you down. That's El Islam. That's Quran. The Quran sealed him out, cut him out of the heaven. So he was rejected before, put out of the heaven. The Quran came again, sealed him, so he could not get into the heaven. He could not really get into the heavens, but not represent himself to people as being in the heaven, representing the heaven. So Satan presented as God in most religions. A lot of people don't know that God they have in their religion is not God. It is Satan. They don't know it. Satan has slipped in there. And he got right in there. And they think they are looking at God. They are not looking at God. They don't see the real Satan. They see him as an angel representing God. He's powerful, but with the Quran, brother, he's weak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fight the schemes of Satan. Satan, for his schemes are weak. Not before. Only after the Quran has his schemes are weak. Because the Quran manifested him, revealed him so plainly. And the Bible says that he will be undressed and he will be trying to cover his head and his feet will show, because the clothes that he would have left with will be too short to cover him up altogether. It says, and when he tries to cover his head, his feet will show. If he tries to cover his feet, his head will show. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has happened. The Quran Surah 37, Ayat 10. Whoever tries to steal a hearing is pursued, except such as snatch away something by stealing. And they are pursued by a flaming fire of piercing brightness. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there were those who used to listen to get a hearing into the heaven. And with the coming of the Quran, circumstances for them had changed. And it was very difficult for them to listen into the heavens. If they did it, they would be bombarded with fire shooting at them. So when the truth comes and removes falsehood, which have happened with the revelation of the Quran, if they pry into the truth to get the heavenly light, to use it, the truth is so plain and so clear that the torture wouldn't be worth the effort. He would have rather that he didn't steal it because he ran into so much that burned him up so badly that he regretted that he went into it. The Quran, if you go into it and you are not right, it will certainly tear you up. It will break you down. It will burn you up. And you will wish that you had not gone into it. But if you are right, it is such a relief to know that this world is not confusing, not the world that God made. And it is so beautiful and wonderful as he made it. So the way we see reality has been formed for us by people who give us their communication and said it was from God. They did it so cleverly. They fixed it so they could interpret it themselves to justify it and support the way of God if they interpreted it themselves. But they are the only ones who could interpret it because they are the only ones who formed it and locked it up against the common mind and common person. So if the common person reads it, it is very, very dangerous. And it will take the person away from the right perception of God, creation that includes God himself. It even incorrectly communicates the person of God. I say person as an entity or soul. God refers to himself as nephs. And nephs means psyche or soul translated. So the Quran, Surah 37, Ayah 10, whoever seeks to steal a hearing is plagued. Isaiah 14:29, rejoice, not Palestine. Isaiah 14:13-14, Lucifer thought seed in heaven. Prometheus stole the heavenly fire. Greek religion forced on Adam to have a Greek republic. From psychoanalysts, clinical psychiatry, and all of this have all developed in time. And where did they get it? From God. Did this happen for the first time in Western civilization? No. The Greeks said Prometheus, a rebel amongst the elite, stole fire from heaven. And this world wants us to think that the Greeks were philosophers. They were not religious. They didn't believe in God. That's a lie. They had strong Greek religion. And they focused on Adam in his original pattern. And that's how they were able to form a great republic and guide their descendants from Europe to science and psychology and all of the other great benefits they had. But they lost that. They went to sleep and lost all of that. And it was the Quran and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that reawakened their mind and showed them how they were even to perceive or understand their ancient knowledge. And it caused them to have a revival. And that is what we are seeing right now in their world now. they are having a great revival. That would not have been possible for them if it was not for the coming of the Quran in the life of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, as the leader of mankind. Permitted this, stole the heavenly fire. That means he disagreed with those who were agreeing to keep it in accord with the best nature that God made, and he used it as a tool, as an instrument for taking over the life of human beings. He wanted to become their master and God. Isn't that what the scripture says? The Bible says that would happen to the world. This is not true for us. I'm going to the Bible. So the Bible says, rejoice not on Palestine, for out of the serpent root shall come a flying cockatrice. And later it says that the old serpent became a flying serpent. And it also says Lucifer that fell from heaven, he inspired to raise up on the air. I bring the things that are connected. I bring them to you right away. It says he will rise upon the air. What is the air? Isn't the air his airplane? No. Although he did that too. He didn't do it, but his scientists in the West, under his influence, his spell, and they were able to be scientific and got an airplane up there. And they are flying. In fact, they are moving about in space that has no air. In airless space. They are just shooting straight to airless space and land on the moon. It says he will rise upon the air, become a prince of the air. Not this air, your spirit. Human spirit, he will rise upon human spirit after he remakes your spirit, reform your spirit, then he knows how to rise. The spirit that he made. He will rise upon the spirit and ascend above your head, and he will work on you from afar, controlling you from a space station in your soul. But he's not through. The Bible says his aim is to go up high enough so he will reach the throne, the very seat of God, and sit on it, performing as though he's God. So that is what has happened. He has taken over the abstract life. That is the most precious. Our most precious life is not our flesh, bones, and all these physical stuff. Our most precious is our concerns and how our intelligence develops inside of it. That is the most precious life. And if he can take over our psyche, our intelligent activity in our soul, and manage without our knowing that he has infiltrated or he has invaded our own life and has taken over our control. He has us thinking that we are controlling our life and controlling the original hand of the original man. This is reality we have to deal with. So this is the reality we have to face. So when we read in the Quran, let us get the light and help that God has revealed for dealing with this thing and defeating it in our life and in our family and in our community. So we have the light and the power to defeat in our life, in our family life. And in our community life, we have it. It is as plain as day. We can defeat it. The Quran, Surah 37, Ayat 11, creation bigger than mind of man. So if you use your good common sense, science tells us that there is no matter involved higher than intelligent human life. So maybe out there somewhere, but they haven't found it yet, or it hasn't found us yet. So if you use your own good common sense now, if the highest form of creation is the human being, then where could God be more than anywhere else in the human being? He is in the human being more than he is anywhere else. So remember that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for his special work. And never think that our creation or our existence is bigger than the universe. It is not. It is very small in comparison to the universe. Isn't the head very small in comparison to the body? And isn't the head brought to life with the body and taken to death with the body? The head can't save the body from death, and the head can't bring life. The whole body comes by God's will. That is why we should never think of any great thing that we achieve or any great power we exercise as ours. It is God. The body belonged to God. He created this. It is his body. He created this himself. It is solely his property. Nobody else has a pattern on it. So when your head comes out and becomes conscious that you are in control of the body, remember that you have permission to be in control of this body. You have been assigned a responsibility over this body. But really, this body is a bigger creation than your mind. Believe me. And if you don't respect it, it will take over. You respect the will of God for that body, and it will leave it with you. But if you ignore the will of God for the body will take over. You will not be head on the body anymore. Angels keep universe order and bow to God's will in man. Body created to fulfill all man's aspirations. And drunken or the dope addict, who is ruling? The head or the body? The body is ruling because the head didn't do the right thing. The body took over saying, let me help you get where you deserve. I'm a philosophical thinker. If I told you what I'm thinking about right now, it might be too much for you. The body is always greater than the mind. You think you are greater than the body. No. The body is always greater than the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the body to fulfill all your aspirations. Whatever you want to realize is already provided for you in the capacity of your human body. You will never realize the full capacity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in your human body. So your body is always greater than you, but it is made your servant. Isn't that wonderful that God gave me something superior to my own ability, but he put it at my service? Didn't God tell the angels bow to Adam? Quran Surah 2, Ayah 34. We are told that the angels uphold the heavenly order. They keep the order of the universe. The Quran Surah 69, Ayah 17. But he told the angels to bow down to Adam. Why? To bow down to a person? No, bow to God's will. Bow to God's purpose. Bow to God's plan. My plan is in Adam. Bow to my plan. Bow to him. But Adam by himself, the angels would not bow to him. Maybe they would throw him in the toilet. But because he was created for God's will and purpose and fulfilled God's plan, Adam elevated a little above the angels. He didn't assign that responsibility to angels. That is just like we, African Americans. The white man has used every science, ever since he brought our parents from Africa. He had us in his control and in his world, right? So really, we are beneath him. But if God's purpose is to raise us up to his equal or above him, there is nothing he can do about it. But without God, we can't rise up. We'll never rise up to his equal above him without God's help. So God raises you up above your body. That is the way it is for your body. Your body is superior to you. But God raises you up above your body. But without God, you are always below your body. That is why the angels did not want to submit to a mortal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wait until I have inspired him or given to him of my own self. Read, ruhi, of my own spirit. In another place it says of himself, then you make sajda to him. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayah 28 to 31. So what is God saying? The reality of man you are looking at now, you angels, does not justify you making sajda to it. Pardon me. So I'm not going to impose it upon you now. But there is going to come a time when man is going to accept my will and receive something of my own self or my own spirit. Then you make your sajda to him. Then you bow to him in full submission. Why would an angel make sajda? Sajda is for human beings, isn't it? Pardon me. One second. Had to get a little water. Why would an angel make sajda? Sajda is for human beings, isn't it? So when we make sajda, we put hands, knees, and toes on the ground, showing that we return to the crawling state of the little baby, the toddler, or the infant. So we go back down on the ground like the animal who was brought up from off of his paws. So we go back down on our hands and knees to return to the state that we were in before I could stand up. Why would God tell an angel to do that? I leave that for you to think about. Sleep is symbolic of secret knowledge. Pardon me. Sleep is symbolic of secret knowledge. The Quran, Surah 38, Ayah 21 to 30. David judged argument over sleep. 2 Samuel 12, 3 and 9. David judged argument over sleep. 2 Samuel 11, 2 to 5. Bathsheba, David sought her. So fruit of Islam, sought for foreign rulers. Let me tell you what is going on right now in the mind of the leading thinkers in Saudi Arabia, in Egypt, Pakistan, wherever there is a learned elite. Here is what is going on in their mind. Now, and before I am giving you this, after they saw the Nation of Islam, their mind is Mr. Farad had a trick and a strategy to attract the black-minded people to him, to believe in him and accept him. He worked on them and put them in the situation to be strongly interested in the Quran and want to be connected to the Islamic world. They are right up to that point. He put a hint there for us that he planted the garden. It is for us to reap the harvest, the fruit. So let's go get our Nation of Islam. So let's go get our lost and found Nation of Islam. Let us go and get our property. So you know it is not true, but Mr. Farad said other things too. make even later ones think maybe that we was a possibility. He talked about coming alone. He said, "My name is W.D. Farrar. I came to the wilderness of North America by myself, alone." So he is speaking independently, as though he did it all by himself. And in another place, he says, 24 scientists met in Mecca, in the root of civilization, concerning, that is, to discuss our situation, lost foundation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. They must return to their own. So they said that those people are lost from their religion now. 24 scientists, and we must get them back into Islam. So he gives the picture also, like, he was just one amongst others, at least 23. He was the 24th one. And he was just one amongst peers, not a god over them, because he did not decide, the story says, and they decided to send one of them to our rescue, and that was Mr. Farrar, to send him over here for us. So see how the man with so many different pictures, and so many different decoys, to take you off the track, and it is for them. So when they read that, it's telling them that this is not a god. He is not presenting himself as any god here. He is telling them that really leaders in Islam in Mecca, Arabia, met and decided to sleep to send help to them. It's telling us, brothers, that we are supposed to reap our reward. He planned this for us. He planned to give them into our hands as our fruit. And this is our fruit, brothers. So in the Islamic teaching, there is a word that is translated sheep. It's not ordinary word for sheep. It is the word for sheep that you are eating off of the plate. Like we say, we are eating lamb. We don't say we are eating sheep. But aren't they the same? We say we are eating beef. We do not say we are eating cow, but aren't they the same? So they have also another word for sheep in the Quran. It makes them sheep lawful to the believers. So the Muslim, the sheep is lawful for you to get. In this is secret knowledge or shrouded knowledge. It is dressed up so that the average person will never know what it's talking about. So 1 Samuel 11:14-18, David had General Kill front line. He played on Bathsheba. So it says that they are entitled, yes, permitted them. And people that is being spoken to are those who God is really not pleased with. And he's cautioning them that you are taking too much and you asking for too much in words. And words to say, these are my words, but nevertheless giving you the right understanding and picture for this particular problem that we are looking at right now. So God permitted them the sheep. They are not called sheep. They are called by another name. I don't know if they know, but God has blessed me to know that this sheep, this same sheep, has reference to previous scripture. Prophet David in the Bible was questioned and condemned for having plenty of sheep. And then he went out after another sheep, Bathsheba. He had plenty of sheep. Now he goes out and deceives Bathsheba's man. This is one of David's generals, and David sees her in the shower from his palace, and he falls in desire for her. I won't say love. Now he wants her so bad, he sends the general out that she was liking to the front of the wall to get him killed, and did get him killed. Now, you know, the Quran does not have these kinds of ugly things associated with prophets. Now, you know, the Quran does not have these kind of ugly things associated with prophets or charged to prophets, but this is in the Bible. So when the general is dead, he takes Bathsheba. She becomes his woman. And is God rebuking him? Bathsheba is called a sheep. He gives a parable of a man having plenty of sheep and his friend having but one. And he goes out and plots the murder of his friend to get his friend's sheep. So this is the Bible. So this permission, to have your sheep is a correction and a completion on that problem the Quran addresses previous problems. So you are entitled to your sheep, but your sheep, not somebody else's sheep. So God is saying you are entitled, but to your sheep, not to some sheep that is not yours. But they will say, any sheep in our name of Muslim, is our sheep. Was not David general, and was not Bathsheba his general's woman? So she was then in his same society, wasn't she? Bathsheba from outside David's people. At that time, she was in his society. But how did she get in his society? She was from outside of his society, and now she had become the wife of the general. And his society, that is how she came into the society, right? So you following me? So for him, we don't care if we are in Islam. Where did we come from? We came from outside of Islam and was brought into Islam. So we came from outside of their name and language and religion. And we were brought inside by one of theirs. In the event, General Mr. W.D. Farrar. And here, they are David back home wanting to take us from Mr. Farrar. And they are happy to see me kill Mr. Farrar as God amongst us. They are happy to see me kill Mr. Farrar, but they are going to reap the spoils of the war, and they are going to get the fruit of their labor. Well, we have news for you, for them. There is no sheep. They never were any sheep. We were donkeys. And we have seen an angel with a flaming sword. And we are not donkeys anymore. We are speaking back with a man's voice. We are telling Baal to get off our back. So just be aware that you, brothers, who don't know what I know, cannot protect this community. You can't guide this community. You must take a stick and whip your own behind until you get yourself to obey the leadership and guidance that God has blessed us with. So deviant mind can't distinguish between harm and good. The Quran, Surah 38, ayat 56 to 57, held extreme hot, cold. The Quran, Surah 101, ayat 1 to 3, what is the noise? The Quran, Surah 27, ayat 4, made their evil deeds fair-seeming. So we are corrected to know the difference between harm and help. We realize. So this thing is hurting me or harming me. This thing is helping me. All of us are created. with that common sense to know that. But the intellect or the rational mind can pursue something to the extent that its own nature, the nature of the mind, changes, and it no longer can distinguish between harm and health. So Muslim world leaders have become misguided, fixated. It no longer can distinguish between disease and health. It no longer can distinguish between evil and good. It reaches out to extent by pursuing something that is against its own human nature. If the thing that is pursued is against its own human nature, it will eventually take it out of its human nature. And you will then perceive evil as good. You will perceive hate as love. You will perceive sickness as health. You will perceive stupidity as wisdom, etc. So this is what has happened to much of the leadership of the Muslim world. So the Muslim world leadership has become fixated. They are just compelled to dwell on the ugly West, the cruel West, and dwelling on that. Generation after generation has taken them out of their human nature. Now when they read the Quran, it does not guide them except deeper and deeper into their deviation and more into their deformity. Hellfire twists its subject out of their form. This will be my subject on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you, our honorable listening audience. And we are asking all the believers to take out a subscription to the Muslim Journal so that we will know what's happening in the Islamic community in here in America and throughout the world. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.